So what the funk do you eat? Whole plants and funk. Cray-Ray, Furburger, and now I have written whole books about what Dr. Michael Clapper prescribes in two words. Whole plants. Occam's diet book. The Jesus wept of diet advice. The Clap can add one verb and another two words and cover all health advice with five words and two sentences. Eat whole plants. Take walks. The whole part of whole plants means not refined. You don't want to throw away any part of the plant that's edible. So, sugar, but with all the fruit around it, and all the water, and the fiber too. Rice, but not just the white part, also the brown and black part. You got to eat the whole apple, but you don't have to eat the whole tree. That's not edible. I had to have the whole plants part of whole plants explained to me. So here's a list of things that aren't whole plants. Animal products. Wait, so what about cheese and eggs? Cheese and eggs are fine as long as you pick them yourself fresh off an organic dairy tree. You fucking idiot! No Big Macs, no steaks, no veal, no chicken, no chicken fingers, no clams, no salmon, no horse meat, no tripe, no haggis, no sausage, no lard, no schmaltz, no liver, no camembert, no roquefort, no anything in the Monty Python cheese shop sketch, no spam, no eggs over easy or sunny side up or poached or coddled or quail or ostrich eggs, no honey. A bee is an animal, you moron. And, oh dear, no bacon. There's only one exception to this. Come, because God is kind. Refined anything. What about pasta and flour? Hey, fuckwad, maybe you have a spaghetti tree in your brie orchard. Nope, no angel hair, no elbow macaroni, no fettuccine, no pappardelle, no rotel, no white rice, no bread, no cupcakes, and damn, no donuts. It's not the plant part, it's the whole part that takes pasta and cake off the list. But come is still okay. Salt. Salt is a fucking rock, not a plant, knucklehead. But I get lots of it from plants, but not added to plants. Once I was off the jive-ass standard American diet, plain celery tasted salty to me. But no added salt, not even in cooking. Again, cum is fine. Oil. No frying or sautéing. Oil is not a whole plant. Grease is squeezed out of the whole plant or animal, and the rest is thrown away or added to hog asshole leftovers and put into the scrapple that Teller fries up for breakfast as a rare treat. So no vegetable oil, no olive oil, no canola oil, no flax oil, no lard, no coconut oil, no oil. I don't use oil for cooking. I don't cook. Vegetables are sautéed for me in water or unsalted vegetable broth. I can use a very, very small amount of oil for flavor, but none for cooking. When I say very, very small amount, I mean about a teaspoon a day, just for flavor. All the weight I lost was on less than a teaspoon of good, healthy vegetable oil per hour. Just that little bit of oil, no matter how virgin or organic, adds up to about 0.9 pounds a day. It adds up fast and does a body no good. Lube during sex is fine. But just for flavor, I try to spit out quantities greater than a teaspoon. Sugar. What about maple syrup? Oh dear, this is a tough one for me. I'm from Massachusetts, and regardless of what those liars in Vermont will tell you, Massachusetts is the best maple syrup, and I guess now the best heroin. I'm flying my children to New England this spring for sugar on snow at a buddy's maple farm. Sugar on snow is maple syrup taken while it's being refined, that word alone shows you I can't really eat it, and poured onto snow, where it congeals into a wonderful diabetic coma of maple taffy. It's so sweet that it has to be served with saltines and dill pickles just to cut it a bit, like the baby laxative in heroin. We New Englanders sure know this shit. I grew up with maple syrup on everything. We're proud of our maple syrup. When I was living in San Francisco in the 80s, my avant-garde music friends from Louisiana would get big bags of pecans from their parents for solstice. Well, I got a gallon of good Massachusetts maple syrup, which would last me almost the year. You put those Louisiana and Massachusetts treats together, and you've got some fine breakfast pancakes. I will use a rare and appropriate for sugar on snow when I take my children back east, but maple syrup is not part of my normal diet. No maple products, unless I'm going to eat the whole maple tree. I guess I could drink the sap before it's boiled down. That's kind of just tree water, but it ain't syrup. So no maple syrup, no white sugar, no confectioner's sugar, no powdered sugar, no brown sugar, no raw sugar, no agave, no molasses, no stevia. But the whole plant does include fruit, and fruit, now that I'm off sad, is really sweet. I can eat a whole fresh watermelon. I love oranges. My favorite meal now is 4 or 5 containers of blueberries and blackberries. I rinse them off, throw them in a huge metal bowl, shake on a lot of cayenne pepper and a shit ton of plain cocoa, and it's like a flourless chocolate cake with berries. Now that I read this, I guess that cayenne and cocoa aren't whole plants. But spices seem okay. It's delicious. I put on enough cayenne that no one but me can eat it. I consider it child repellent. Fruit is the way to feed my sweet tooth. But no dried fruit. Raisins, apricots, prunes, dried pears, dried anything are not whole plants. They're missing water. And I need that to fill me up. And no fruit juices at all, because that's too much water. And no fruit and lots of sugar. No dried fruit or wet fruit. I guess that's what I mean. Just fruit. Whole plants, cray-ray, and my doctor got me really healthy. I was a new pen, healthy, trim, energetic, happy pen. I had no cravings. I fought the advertising, the social pressure to be constantly fit. Dr. Furberger's recipes all have this clean, healthful feel. I like feeling clean and healthy. I like my stomach working right, my skin clearing up, my arthritis going away. I love the health. But I miss the funk. Animal products are funky. Whether you're talking about a rare steak or a piece of wicked smelly cheese, there is something not quite right about eating animal products, and that's the best part of eating them. Eating meat and cheese is like good fucking. Even if you are totally sex positive and embrace your inner slut and do no shaming and are happy to add a few more letters to your LGBT sandwich, you still want sex to be dirty. Sex needs to bring the funk. It needs to have looks, smells, feels, tastes, and sounds that have a top note of disgusting. Anal sex and blue cheese are for grown-ups. There's a kind of jaded, world-weary, something-not-quite-right vibe to the best kinds of sex. You can fuck right after a shower and in the daylight by a clear mountain stream with a blindfolded string quartet playing live, and it should still be dirty. You can't have great sex without the funk. Not just sex. You don't want to have any music without funk. Auto-tune and beat grids have to be used judiciously. We want a little tension on the beat and a little wobble in the intonation. Dirty reminds us we're alive. It reminds us we're animals, and animals are funky. They smell. Bring the motherfucking funk. Vegetables aren't funky. Furberger's diet, plant-based, avoiding oil, salt, sugar, and refined grains, don't bring the funk. It don't leave much dirty. My new diet was like fucking angels with Barney's autoclaved little dick. You go out to a fancy restaurant, and they bring you a plate of funky cheese, smelly cow, sheep, and goat cheese, cheese with some gooey brown pâté with lumps of dirty, translucent fat in it. On the side are some weird-ass little pickles, and it's all sprinkled with pink rock salt. You eat that shit and know you're a grown-up. You know you're not really supposed to be eating that kind of stuff. Cheese is just food going bad. It's dirty. It's funky. It's gone bad, and you're eating it. That's sexy. That's not fucking a Barbie doll with a condom. That's barebacking a downtown hooker, maybe of your same sex, in a bathroom stall at a bus station. It's animal. It's sniffing butts and rolling in fuck. Take out all animal products, salt, sugar, and oil, and food is healthful and good, but not funky at all. Dr. Furberger is not a funky guy. Pull out his book and look at him. Now pull out a P-Funk album and look at Bootsy Collins. Compare. My wife says the Furberger recipes are a little like Boston Market. If you like one thing at Boston Market, you like everything at Boston Market because it all tastes the same. You can tell a Furberger recipe. It seems healthful and clean, and it doesn't make your dick stink. I'm pretty far from Bootsy, but I have pissed in the next urinal down from where George Clinton was pissing. Yes, of course I peeked, and no, I'm not publishing that info here. Ask me in person when I know you better. Dr. Funkenstein and I did a corporate show together back when dot-coms had all the money in the world, and 27-year-old billionaires could say, let's have a corporate party with George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic, Prince, and Yeah, let's hire Penn and Teller to do some magic, too. I'm not Bootsy, and I don't have to eat haggis, but I can't eat just plain carrots. I'm healthy and happy, but I need some food that reminds me of the way backstage at CBGB Umfug smelled in the 80s. Most adventurous eating, from stinky cheese to fish eyes to uni, is animal-based, so I needed to find a few things that could bring enough funk to get by, like mushrooms. Mushrooms can bring some funk. They grow in dirt, and they aren't animals, but they can't make food from sunlight. Mushrooms grow in dark shit. Growing in dark shit is funky, and some of them look like aliens. Some of them look like penises. Some of them have weird pubic hair like cilia on them. You could fuck a mushroom, and it wouldn't be bad. They're not animals, but they're also not really plants. They're alien stuff. The biggest living thing in the world is a honey fungus that lives in the Blue Mountains of Oregon, if you call that living. Mushrooms live on dead things, and they reproduce with spores, not seeds. Mushrooms are funky, and mushrooms are fungus. Fungus sounds like funky and means funky. Mushrooms can psychedelicize your mind. Mushrooms can kill you, and that's funkier than Bootsy. That's Rick James. We put all kinds of mushrooms in everything. They give texture, sex, and flavor, and they always bring the funk. Mushrooms look like sex organs and burst with flavor, life, and health. There's a nut friend of Cray Ray's who has a different cult, some sort of mushroom cult, and he'll tell you mushrooms will cure cancer and get you hard and make you come like a fire hose. I like them because they bring really different flavors and textures to my diet. One of the things I miss eating only plants is texture in food. Mushrooms give texture. Since I've been riding the Cray Ray wagon, I've eaten a lot of mushrooms. Then there's nutritional yeast. Holy funk! That's another kingdom outside of plants that I eat. And it's also creepy. Nutritional yeast is neither plant nor animal. Yeast is even too weird to be fungus. Yeast is made up of creepy, single cells smaller than plant and animal cells but bigger than bacteria. They have no chloroplast, but their ribosomes are the same size as ours. Like I said, creepy. I used to like eating stinky, disgusting, creepy cheeses and funky, creepy meats and fishes, and now I eat yeast and think about it being neither plant nor animal. You can't get funkier than yeast. Make sure you buy nutritional yeast and not just regular make bread rye or infectional yeast. Nutritional yeast is made to bring the funk and nothing else. They grow the little fuckers in molasses and then kill them dead, dead, dead. The kind of nutritional yeast you buy at asshole foods has some added amino acids for the vegans, but Dr. Furberger thinks added stuff is bad, so his brand doesn't have it. Doesn't matter. All brands have defunk. Most recipes tell you to use a spoonful or two of nutritional yeast here and there, but I keep it right on the table with the vinegar and the Tabasco, and I dump it on lots of food. When I was eating that great corn tomato stew over rice for my one meal every day, I would dump so much nutritional yeast on that shit that it formed a powder floating on the top like pond scum. Then I would let it soak a little and skim it off. I wasn't eating stew with nutritional yeast. I was eating slightly moist yeast. Can you think of a two-word phrase funkier than moist yeast? I would dampen up my yeast with stew and beans and even use it on my baked potato. I take a potato, bite off a hunk to expose the virginal white potato flesh, sprinkle on some Tabasco to get that baby hot and sticky, and then grind it into a pile of moist yeast. That virginal potato is now fully wasted and ready to suck on down. Serious funk. Put a mess of mustard greens drenched in vinegar on the side and fuck that cheese plate with pickles in the neck. You've got a good, healthy funk. So you got whole plants and some funk thrown in, and a few things that are kind of neither, but maybe both. Seasonings and condiments. There's all this Mrs. Dash seasoning shit that's really good. There's spicy ones and garlic ones. They all have lots of flavor without any salt. Furberger also has a bunch of these, and we eat those too. I love it all and always use more than anyone else. I do not like moderation. My wife buys all sorts of this stuff, and I just dump it on. Tabasco. Nothing compares to Tabasco. Hot sauce brings defunk. I once met the great singer-songwriter Bonnie Raitt. We talked backstage at a corporate show. Not the same corporate show where I pissed next to George Clinton. That would have been too gone even for the dot-coms. And she had one piece of advice for me. If you go to Russia, bring Tabasco sauce. Cray-Ray would like me to cut down a Tabasco, but I'm being reprogrammed. I need to take everything he said as gospel when I was a fat fuck. But now that I'm a bit more under control, I keep the salt out of my diet, but I take a grain with whatever Cray-Ray says. He thinks I should train myself to enjoy the natural taste of food a little more. Fuck him in the neck. I love Tabasco. Yep, it has salt in it. It has less salt than most other hot sauces, and my thinking is, if I can stand the burn, I get the reward of a little burst of salt. I put Tabasco on air-popped popcorn on movie night. I'm as happy with a bowl of beans and brown rice with Tabasco as any other food. Right now, as I write this, at the Starbucks at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort in North Carolina, I have three tiny emergency bottles of Tabasco that I get from room service at the Rio right here in my computer bag. Upstairs in my hotel room, there's a normal-sized bottle in my luggage and a Tupperware container of it in the bag of potatoes and yams I brought from Vegas for my travel food. I eat potatoes plain on the airplane. I don't want to offend the other passengers with a strong smell, and I don't want to spill it. But it's there with me, ready to be thrown in the eyes of would-be terrorists. Backstage, as part of my travel kit, our stage manager, Bert, keeps a big bottle of Tabasco in a road box. Our travel rider, which the long-suffering Glenn sends out with our contracts, stipulates that my whole plant, no salt, no sugar, no oil backstage meal needs to be served to me with a full bottle of Tabasco. At home, there's a bottle on the kitchen table, two more in the kitchen proper, and another in the home theater. We just moved into a house with a glassed-in chilled wine rack with places for 500 bottles of wine. Our family are all teetotalers, so the plan is to fill that wine area with fresh herbs. But that takes time, so we just bought 500 bottles of Tabasco and displayed them there. My buddy Doc Swan sends me a funny hot sauce brand every New Year's Day as a present, and I try many of them, but nothing has ever beaten Tabasco for me. Apple cider vinegar. I like the hippie shit with the mother, but I also like the strained and pasteurized stuff they sell at 7-Eleven. Balsamic vinegar and all the fruity, in both senses, ones are fine, but I always come back to apple cider. Furberger suggests I eat lots of salads and steamed greens, and I love them all with vinegar. My mom always served boiled spinach with vinegar. Spinach with vinegar is a comfort food for me. I can't get enough vinegar. I like apple cider vinegar best. I bought stupid expensive they saw me come in bottles of balsamic aged for 40 years and the genitals of nuns, and it wasn't better than plain, unpasteurized New England hippie apple cider vinegar. The kind that's cloudy and has weird stuff floating in it. The kind that's funky. For many meals, I have 3 pounds of greens in my side dish. Can something be a side dish if it's bigger than your head? Cray-Ray's cult had made me crazy enough that spinach has become a junk food to me. It's not nutrient-heavy enough for me. The 3 pounds of boiled greens I have are swimming in vinegar. It doesn't matter what they are, so I might as well get healthier ones. I love collard greens. I love saying collard greens. Kale is, of course, the trendy king of greens. Chard is great, and mustard greens have their own built-in funk. They'll give you a horseradish kick in the balls that goes really nicely with vinegar. My mom always used to cut up radishes and cucumbers and put them in apple cider vinegar. Pickles can be really salty and aren't good for you, but just cutting up all kinds of vegetables and throwing them into apple cider vinegar makes them great and funky and intense. I dip steamed broccoli, cauliflower, and even squash in vinegar. I can dip my fluorescent LeBron sneakers in vinegar and gobble them down. You might want to go with some of those hoity-toity fig or pecan-infused vinegars, but I like apple cider vinegar and keep it right on the table next to my Tabasco. 3 pounds of boiled greens, shake on the Tabasco, then dilute that with a shit ton of apple cider vinegar. That's all I need to feel like I've eaten something. Again, Cray-Ray would like me to enjoy the vegetables without adding a lot of flavor. But I've already fucked Cray-Ray in the neck. He's dead to me. Nuts. Nuts are good for me. They are part of the diet. But I have to be careful not to take handfuls all the time. I found out I could get fat on nuts. It's pretty easy to get a day's worth of calories just by eating some Louisiana pecans, even without the New England maple syrup. Even eating nuts sparingly, I still have to be careful. The SAD people are trying to fuck with my nuts. They roast them and add oil to them, even though the delicious little fuckers are already filled with oil and fat. We have to get our nuts at asshole foods or somewhere like that to make sure there's no oil, roasting, or salt included in the deal. The exception is almonds. It's easy to find raw, plain almonds. When I'm in an airport sundry shop, the only thing I buy is almonds. They all have raw, unsalted almonds hanging right on the rack with the M&M's trail mix. I love checking the ingredients. Even the airport almonds lists on the package, ingredients, almonds. I like that. I buy a few packs and stick them in my computer bag in case I need a meal on the plane. It's a lot of calories, but they're very tasty and filling and so easy to transport and eat right out of the bag. I don't need utensils or even a napkin. I don't have to bring down the tray table smeared with invisible, virulent stranger snot. My buddy Jason Garfield, the buff juggler, told me that Daesh live on almonds. Now, you know, you can never trust a friend of a friend story, but this is a juggler of a juggler story. There's no chance that this is true. But Jason says asshole, loser, nihilist, for God, terrorists live in caves and eat almonds. The New York Times, not jugglers, seems to report that terrorists are often well-educated and live in houses. So you go ahead and believe the paper of record over a couple of half-naked jugglers talking in the kitchen about nuts at 3 a.m. But I believe Jason. So with every almond I put in my mouth, I think about taking that almond from the mouth of some fucking homicidal, suicidal, hateful piece of shit. Eating almonds is how a peacenik like me engages in the war against terror. That's another bag of irresistible, snacking, smart-eating, blue diamond, all-natural, whole almonds that won't go to the misunderstood-as-violent jihad. And I eat them on airplanes as an extra fuck you to Al-Qaeda. I have to be very careful with nuts because I love all kinds of nuts so much. I like to come downstairs naked in the middle of the night when my willpower is low and have a few spoonfuls of peanut butter. It's rich people's peanut butter that's just peanuts, not roasted, no salt or oil added, but it still has a shit ton of fat and calories. At 4 a.m., with my dick hanging out, I have no willpower, so my wife has to hide the nuts and the peanut butter from me. Peanuts are pure truth. Tomatoes are sneaky. They're botanical fruits that are used as vegetables for cooking purposes. Chimpanzees are great apes that are referred to as monkeys for comedic purposes. Peanuts are leguminosae that are enjoyed as nuts. Tomatoes and chimps fucked up and gave no hint of their linguistic cross-dressing in their name. Peanuts, however, lay it right out there. The peanut has a kind of honesty that tomatoes and chimps can't touch. It's a pea that we eat as a nut, and those words in the middle are silent. How much better would the world be if tomatoes were called fruit veggies and chimpanzees were called chimmonkeys? That's a world where the terrorists wouldn't have a chance. Even me crawling around on the floor naked in the middle of the night trying to find where my wife hid the peanut butter instead of eating their almond supplies. One of the eating techniques I'm experimenting with is eating pistachios and other nuts out of the shell so I have to take the time to crack them. But there are few things more luxurious for a guy my age. The pistachio kernels already out of the shell and ready to eat by the handful. I'm old enough that when I was a kid, pistachios were a rare and expensive treat. They were dyed that weird-ass red, and I would sit and eat them until my hands looked like Ted Bundy's. In terms of botany, pistachios aren't nuts, they're fruits, but I'm just going to let that go this time. You're welcome. My earliest memory of learning self-control and willpower was waiting till I opened a whole handful of pistachios before stuffing them into my mouth. I still use that memory to help my sexual prowess. If I only had nuts in the shell around, I would probably eat fewer of them. But what about my quality of life? Avocados. I also have to be careful about avocados. If I can't find the peanut butter in the middle of the night, I'll settle for some guacamole. Easy makes it with a lot of cilantro, which keeps cray-ray and Godot out of it. But I have to be careful. Guac and nuts can make me fat. So that's what I eat and don't eat on a regular basis. For holidays, rare and appropriate, and when my daughter Mox asks me to take her out for ice cream, all bets are off. And it seems like once a year I like to eat just potatoes. But this will tell you what I eat normally. That's what seems to keep me skinny and healthy. I didn't do it for flavor, I did it for health, but I now sincerely like the taste, smell, and texture of this stuff more than the shit I used to eat. Even with all the Tabasco, Mrs. Dash, and vinegar that I dump on things, there are still more different flavors than ever came through in pizza, steak, and spaghetti. The new diet is more interesting and exciting. It took me a while to get here. That's the Cray-Ray genius. He does the cold turkey potato thing to reset the taste buds, the smells, the habits, and the microbiome. None of this stuff would have tasted good a year ago. It didn't change. I did. It's still bland. I'm just more sensitive. I guess this isn't the most attractive way to sell someone on this diet, but I'm not trying to sell you on this diet. I have no evidence that it's right for you, or even very much evidence that it's right for me. Maybe you want a little less funk and a little more apple tree. I'm just reporting on what I think happened with me and food. I keep thinking about The Stranger by Camus. He's writing about adjusting to prison, how he found a way to be content. I suppose it's a bit insensitive for me as a free man to compare eating healthy with being in prison while living in a country that uses jail to unjustly address too many social problems. So please take this with a grain of non-whole plant salt as poetic and political. Yeah, Camus wrote it, not me, so fuck you. There's a passage where he writes, "As for the rest of the time, I managed quite well, really. I've often thought that had I been compelled to live in the trunk of a dead tree with nothing to do but gaze up at the patch of sky just overhead, I'd have got used to it by degrees. I'd have learned to watch for the passing of birds or drifting clouds. When I had the whole world of American food at the tip of my tongue, it made me sick, and I didn't enjoy it. Now that it's just whole plants, I enjoy every meal, and I feel great. I see every cloud and every bird that passes by. What do I eat? Whole plants. And please pass the funk."